thank you for our worship team. Isaac is out at a wedding this weekend, and so I'm always thankful for our worship team that they would step forward and lead us in worship. So thankful for them doing that this morning. Welcome to you in person. Welcome online, those of you who worship me with us online. We still have a lot of people that worship online, so we're thankful that you have joined us this morning here at Grace Point Church. In just a moment, I'm going to continue teaching through Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 15 through verse 23, and I want to spend this morning just really focusing on the first part of verse 23. Now, let me remind you, I said last week to you, when I started it in January, of course, this was pre-COVID, right? Colossians for the year, right? And here we are in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. So as I said last week, this is now a two-year series, okay? So I have timed it out. Good news. December, I like to teach a Christmas series, and so I only teach Colossians till the end of November. And so there are, including today, there are 8 Sundays, believe it or not, until we are in December. And that will go quickly. So I have it scheduled out. I will finish by the end of December. We will complete Colossians chapter 1. Guaranteed. I mapped it out. We're going to get there. Then we'll go Christmas series, and then we'll come back in January, and we'll go Colossians 2, 3, and 4 next year. Okay? Surely we will. I mean, who knows what next year holds, right? Who knows? Who knows? It's going to be so good. It's just going to, we're going to be so. All right, so I'm going to go 23 in just a minute. Colossians 1 before, though, I want to talk to you about one announcement. And then at the end, I'm going to come back with a couple more announcements at the end to finish things up after I finish preaching today. I want to talk to you about our alternative to Fall Festival. Okay, so if you've been with us for any length at all, you know that October we always have a big Fall Festival out here in our lot here next to us. Even before we connected here, we would have one over at the warehouse space. And so we decided that in talking through it with elders and just staff, and you know, we have, you know, I don't know, 1,200 people that show up to that thing. And it's just a great community event, great churchwide event. It's one of my favorite events, seeing all the kids and families and everybody coming. But, you know, based on the current circumstances and everything that's going on around us, we believed that it would not be the safest thing for us to do Fall Festival as we've done it traditionally in the past, these past few years. So Julie Richardson, who leads our preschool children's ministry, along with Wendy Roscoe and Christy Dorman, Emily Henson, but Julie is leading that, and she came in a couple weeks ago and shared a vision about, hey, knowing we're not going to do the traditional Fall Festival, here's something that I would like to do. And we want to do something for Grace Point Church family. So part of the challenge, as you know, in the midst of everything going on and with COVID and stuff, is trying to do ministry, do it safely, certainly, but continue forward with our ministries as many as we can. And so we wanted to be able to do this, and just she has this vision for a different kind of celebration, if you will. And I want to talk to you about that for just a minute before we jump into the message. So Fall Harvest Drive, that you're going to see this graphic a lot on Facebook and out there on social media. This is what we'll be advertising it. Sunday, October 25th from 4 to 6:30. All right, now, come gather all you need for a night of family memories and fun. So it's going to be a drive-through. So the idea behind this, and there'll be more information with more details, I'm just giving you the broad stroke, is you will come, and it'll be a drive-through event, right? And it's a family night. The idea is you're going to come here. She has different things for you to pick up and gather as a family. Then you go home. You spend the evening together, carving pumpkins, watching a movie, eating together. Okay, so typically then what's going to happen, what we think will happen is you'll come onto the campus, you'll take the drive, you'll be directed in, there'll be people all over the place. I'm going to be out there in my orange suit, just for the record. Just for the record. There I am from last year, right there. That was last year. So when you drive, if it starts to get dark, you won't miss me, okay? Guarantee it. Here's our drive. I'm going to greet you, you're going to come in, I'm going to give you directions kind of on where you go, and as you drive around, you're going to stop somewhere between the lobby and over here on this side. She's going to have set up a huge, it's going to be a photo opportunity for you and your family, like a big backdrop with hay and all this stuff. She showed me, it's really cool. You'll put your car in park, you'll get out with your family. We have professional photographer that'll be here. And she's going to take family photo. It's going to be a cool opportunity for you as a family. You get that picture dressed up. And then there'll be some pictures off to the side just with your kiddos in their costumes, probably, if you want to do that. Then you get back into your vehicle and you're going to drive to some different spots around, like to the children's, for instance, building. And there'll be pre-wrapped candy and goodies and stuff that they'll give away, safely done. There'll be, I think, another stop. And then at the end, you will stop and you get a pumpkin. So we have a few hundred pumpkins that are coming to the church, and you're going to get a pumpkin, and you have instructions on that, what to do with that, to take that home and carve it, and then you're going to take a picture, you're going to send it to Julie, and they're going to have a pumpkin carving contest, and she's going to award prize to the family that carved, that wins that, and some other things mixed in there. It's going to be decorated with a fall harvest theme all throughout the campus as you come and drive. It's really going to be, I think it's going to be really a fun event for us as a church to put on and for you as a family. And then as you leave and you go out, we're going to have elephants, tigers, and, like zebras, stuff like that. So as you leave, so bring your camera. Now, here's the thing about it is we need you to sign up, all right? So we want to control the amount of people on campus, right, certainly. And so I think there's 15-minute increments that you can sign up. You need to go to kidzonesignup.com. That's where you go to sign up for your kids on Sunday morning, the same place, and there's a link there or a page there that you can sign up and let us know when you're coming, just whatever time slot's going to work for you. From 4 to, I think we said, 6:30, 15 minutes apart. That gives time for people to come onto the campus, go through everything, and we're not going to back up all the way to McKinney Street and cause any traffic issues, plus fewer people on campus at one time, so that helps us keep things safe and moving quickly and makes it the best possible experience for you as a family. All right. There's also coupons. Oh, yeah, there's another thing. Coupons that she'll have for you to go if you want to go and somewhere as you leave here and eat with your family or pick something up if you're not comfortable going out and eat yet. Take that home with you. And then there'll be recommendations from her with some family-friendly movies you can watch that night with your family. Okay, so a lot of work, great vision she has, and then the process of putting it all together to execute it. I think it's going to be a great time for our church family. So make plans to come and celebrate that with us on October the 25th, but sign up as soon as you can. That helps us in preparing adequately for the number of people that will be here on campus. All right, we'll talk about some other things at the end of the message, but let me just jump into this here. Let me ask you a question, though, first, a rhetorical question, just something to think about, kind of pressed on me this week in my studies, and I do a lot of, obviously, I love to study the Word and commentaries and theology, and but let me ask you this question. Have you ever, in your relationship with Jesus, have you ever thought that I know about him, but I feel like I don't really know him? Like, I really don't have that depth of relationship with him. You see the idea of knowing about somebody but not knowing someone, right? I can say I know about Dak Prescott, let's say. I can learn a lot about Dak Prescott and who he is and where he played college ball and his family and all that. I can learn all about him. I know about him, but I don't know him personally, right? So it's one thing to know about someone, but it's different to know them. And so when we come to the teaching of the Word on Sunday mornings or any time when you are, reading the Word and God is teaching you, we always want to make sure that it's not just, and this is probably for me even more so than you, but just maybe for you too, it's not just about acquiring information and knowing about him, but it's about understanding him, to know him more, to be in that deeper walk with him. So we learned these last 6 weeks about who he is, and we talked about that week. He is God, he is sustainer, he is creator. All these things we've learned in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and following, which is good to know about him. But we always want that to translate. That's why we say, what are the implications of this truth? We want that to translate into our faith, into my relationship, into Monday morning when I go to work, into today when I get home with my family, into all things, right? And to know him in greater ways. And so that's what I'm hoping this morning, as we talk about continuing in our faith, we're able to do that, to help us to think. Today is kind of, we're laying the foundation. So I'm taking the first part of verse 23 and to really challenge us to understand what it means to continue in faith, to live by faith. Let's go to Colossians 1:15. Let me just read through these. I'll go fairly quickly, and then I'm going to get to verse 23, and then we're going to stop there. A few takeaways before we tie things up. He says this, and I've talked through all these, but so maybe some of this will come to my mind as I read, I hope. Verse 15, Colossians 1, he's the image, talking about Jesus, of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Nothing exists for itself. We learned about that. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he, Jesus, might be preeminent. Everything. We talked about that. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. We talked about that last week. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind doing evil deeds, is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. That's where we finished last week. That's who we are positionally in Christ. Now, practically, now you're going to get the kind of the practical stuff, right? We talked last week about positionally, he just defined. As a believer in Christ, positionally, this is who you are. Holy, blameless, and above reproach before him because of Jesus. And we talked about that last week. Now I said to you practically the sanctification process, how that plays out. That's what he's going to talk about next. In verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, we're going to go just back to the first part there, verse 23, and I want to show you something and how this kind of breaks out and what we're going to do today and what we're going to do over these next few weeks. So he says, if indeed you continue, so I see three things here, all right? If indeed you continue in the faith, there's one. Stable and steadfast, there's two. Not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, there's three. Now, some preachers would look at that and go, man, that's a three-point sermon. I say that's a three-week series is what I say. Probably six, because today's going to take two. But here's the question. This is why it's so important. If indeed you continue in the faith. So I look at that and I say, man, that's some serious. Talk about my position in Christ. Now, it's not, as I talked last week, there's security of the believer, no question. I think this is the practicality of how we are then to live, to continue in the faith. And then he shows us kind of where he says here, stable and steadfast and shift and not shifting from the hope of the gospel. Those things are ways that we continue, but I think it's even more than that. So here's the question is, how do we do that? How do we continue in the faith? What does that look like? How do I do that? What does that mean? I mean, this is foundation. This is important stuff. And so I need to grab a hold of it. So today we're going to talk about if indeed you continue in the faith, how do I continue in the faith? And then this is a two-weeker already. And then the week after that, it's going to be stable and steadfast. Are you? And if you are, why would you say you are? How do you know if you are? What does that look like? And then not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. See, that's what's happened. I think the Colossians, false teachers come in, they start to struggle. And I think he's telling them, don't shift from the hope of the gospel that you heard. I think the implication is some of them have. That's why they're unsettled. That's why they're nervous. That's why they're frustrated. That's why they're confused. They're hoping in other things. And I think that happens to you and I. Sometimes, and you know what? I don't think we even realize it at times. We've shifted away. Our hope has shifted away from God and Jesus, and it's into other things, not even purposefully. Another person, a job, just something. And we've shifted away, and that's why we're up and down. That's why we struggle with discouragement and frustration, fear, and all these things, because our hope has shifted. So how do we get back to that place, and what does it look like? All those things are wrapped up in these. This verse and this first part of this verse. So we'll take some time and kind of just dwell and break this thing out so we can understand, first of all, what it means to continue in the faith. Let me read this. This is an article I read. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but I'll just read a portion of it. God behind me, God before me, looking backward and forward by faith. Here's what he says. Depending on where you are in life, For some, studying the past and the future might feel like more than you can bear. Our worst days, weeks, months, or years have a way of burying the mercies of God in our past. And if we're not careful, darkening the promises of God for our future. The past, if we're not careful, becomes a list of hopes, deferred, relationships lost, opportunities squandered, all telling the broken story of how we landed here. And the future, if we're not careful, as far as we can see, might appear to only get worse. But for God's people, however, what we see never tells the full story. What we see, remember, we're talking about faith now, we're going to get there. What we see never tells the full story. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that look like? Faith, not sight, must be our guide. Faith, not sight, must be our guide as we scan the pages of yesterday and turn the page of tomorrow. And faith has a different interpretation than what our worst moments would suggest. When faith looks to the past and to the future, it says with David, "You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us." Psalm 40. The past, no matter how many ghosts walk there, is full of God's wondrous deeds. And the future, no matter how many sorrows await us there, is full of his merciful plans. Therefore, we continue in the faith. Therefore, we walk by faith. We have to see the past and the future here by continuing in the faith. Don't look at it independent of your faith. That's where we get into problems. That's where we get into trouble. It's what Satan does. He brings up the past, but it's independent of our faith. God behind me, God before me, looking backward and forward by faith. So faith is just a fundamental. If you're a believer in Christ, man, this is a fundamental to your relationship in Christ. Not on your outline or on the screens, but Ephesians 2, by grace through faith, you're saved. Matthew chapter 9, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. 2 Corinthians 5:7, which I just said, we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, the way you live your life, your walk, he's talking about your walk in Christ every day is by faith, not by sight. Are you living that way? Am I living that way? I think that matches up with continuing the faith. That's what he's talking about here. Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. So we should be people of faith, clearly. It should be evidenced in our lives, in the way we live our life. Our faith, and specifically our faith in God. So the question then is this: how do I continue in my faith? What does that look like? I don't know if I'm doing that. I want to make sure that I'm walking that way. So how do I continue in faith? Now, to understand, and I think it breaks out in 2 weeks, actually, a lot more than that, but I'll condense it to 2 weeks. So I think the first thing you have to do is you have to define, first of all, what it is. So if you're taking notes, takeaway number one is I answer the question, what is faith? What is it? What is faith? Now, to answer, we go to the scriptures to get an answer of what faith is. I want to show you two examples. I want to show you an example in Luke chapter 7, if you want to follow along, it'll be on the screen also. Luke chapter 7, I want to show you an example of a person who indeed was continuing the faith, living by faith. Jesus acknowledges that person in their faith. I want to show you that first. And then the second thing I'm going to show you, and I'm going to go to Hebrews in between there, but then I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you an example of a group of people who were living by unbelief, although believers, disciples, as a matter of fact. And then we're going to draw some conclusions on what it is, and then that'll just tie things up for the day, okay? So takeaway number one, what is faith? So we go to the Bible, Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Let me just read it to you. It's a great story of faith. It says this, talking about Jesus, after he had finished all his sayings In the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. And when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you." Now watch this. This is where we're going today. "But say the word. Say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." Now verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. I don't know about you, but when I stop when I read that. Jesus marveling at somebody else. I don't know about you, but I'd be good with that. Jesus marveling at you. Jesus marveling at me. So when I see that, I go, wow, okay. Let me just swing back around and make sure I understand. What was he doing to cause that reaction from Jesus? And the answer is, "But say the word and let my servant be healed," his faith. Now, look what it goes on. It says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." There's two things. He marveled at him and he spoke for him and said, "Even in Israel, I haven't found the faith like this guy has." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we can then conclude with faith. We see what happens. Jesus, God in the flesh, he is God, Colossians 1:15. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Faith, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. So that's faith. Say the word, let my servant be healed. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a few minutes. Now, I want to go to Hebrews 11. If you're following along, go to Hebrews 11. When we talk about faith, and this is the chapter, right? The roll call of faith, there's all kinds of ways they speak about this particular section of scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11. So I want to go Hebrews 11, 1 first, and then I'm going to just touch on a few others in Hebrews 11. So Hebrews 11, 1 says this. Now, we're talking about defining faith. How would you define it? It's kind of pressing in on you to ask yourself the question, do I have faith? We're going to talk a minute about, what that looks like and where is my faith next week. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, since we're talking about defining it, he says this: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction," and in my Bible, I've got that one circled, "conviction of things not seen." Because everything you're getting ready to read in Hebrews chapter 11 in the following verses springs from that verse, that word, conviction. So these Hebrews 11 people, who we're going to talk about in just a minute, by faith did these radical things. It came from this deep conviction of faith, things not seen. So your faith should be tied into your conviction. So convictions are not things you hold. Convictions are things that hold you. Opinions are things you hold. Convictions hold you. They go deep. And so everything you're going to read in Hebrews 11, we're trying to do it today, but you're studying that, you need to get that first verse. They had faith, but it springs from what? Faith involves conviction. Right? So that then moves them to obey. So when we talk about what is faith, it's the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Now, as you study through Hebrews 11, which many of you have, I'm sure I have too, there's a common theme you'll notice for all these people. He says, by faith, they did this, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And as you study through that, every single case, the writer of Hebrews mentions We have these people, these amazing people of faith. The one thing that every single one of them has when you study it is this. They all simply took God at His word, period. Every single one of them, you go through. By faith, Noah took God at His word and built an ark, even though it had never rained. So by faith, they then responded with obedience. Noah could have built a great case, just like we do. Why we don't want to obey, right? Rain. It's never. You want me to? It makes no sense. Faith. They all took God at His word. By faith, Abraham obeyed, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11. He obeyed and he left to go to a land that God would show him. By faith, Sarah took God at His word. So we conclude, regardless of circumstances, regardless of feelings, regardless of argument or reason, each person of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 believed God and they chose God to obey. They chose to obey God. So those are examples of people living by faith. I want to give you an example. Luke chapter 8 of disciples responding in unbelief. So first we know what faith is. Now I'm going to show you what faith is not. Luke chapter 8, and I've taught on this before, and next week we're going to go deeper into this, but I just want to touch on it today. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, talking about faith, and what is it? One day he got into a boat, talking about Jesus again, with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. So these guys, remember, man, they're experienced fishermen. They know what's going down. They know how it works. Their boat's taking on water. So I think there was legit reason to be scared, and they were. But they responded without faith in Him. So watch this. And they went and woke Him, saying to Jesus, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And He awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And verse 25, here's where we're going. And He said to them, "Where is your faith?" Now listen to this. Check this out. We'll talk about this next week. You notice what He did not say as I read that? He did not say, "Why don't you guys have faith?" He didn't say why. He said where. They had faith, just like you do. The question He was trying to get at is, where is it? It's not in me, clearly, because if it were in me, you wouldn't be reacting this way. So the answer to that is, I'm getting ahead of myself, the answer to that is, next week we're going to see, is the problem they were scared and afraid is because their faith was not in Jesus, their faith was in the boat to keep them safe. That's why they freaked, that's why they panicked, that's why they worried. And anytime we put our faith in created things to the Creator, ultimately we have reason to worry. And I would argue that's why we do. Well, that's why I do. It's not about why don't you have faith. You have faith. They had faith. The question is where? Where is your faith, He asks them. So we talk about that next week, because I think, and that's what I said mentioned earlier, I think sometimes, not even purposefully, we shift away from the hope of the gospel. We shift away towards our faith and where it is placed in Christ and His word as we're getting there. And we begin to have faith in other things. Maybe not even realize it. Man, maybe I've shifted away. Maybe I put my faith in my husband too much. I'm not saying you shouldn't have faith and trust them. Okay, we'll wait till next week. But I'm saying ultimately, right? Or my faith is completely in my abilities to do my job. Or my faith is completely in, something, right? Instead, ultimately, in God. And sure, you need to have faith in people and things like this. But the problem is when it's directed this way instead of this way first, right? And all of it is in the scene. So on your outline there, if you're taking notes, I've listed 6 faith statements that help us continue to kind of wrestle with this and understand it and grab a hold of it, of what faith means. All of these are based on Hebrews chapter 11. the scriptures there. I didn't put the scriptures for time's sake. I won't go and read those. Actually, these six faith statements are actually, in my world, a six-week series on faith. So I'm just going to give them to you as bullet points. You're welcome. Let's start, and hopefully they'll speak to you. Again, they're from Hebrews 11. Faith is believing when I don't see it. That could be Abraham, right? Go to a place, I'll tell you. Faith is believing when I don't see it. Faith is obeying when I don't understand it. Again, we're answering the question, what is faith? Faith is believing when I don't see it. Faith is obeying when I don't understand it. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Faith is persevering when I don't feel like it. Faith is thanking God before I receive it. That's how we pray. So as we're praying for something, for God to bless us with that, we thank him in advance before I ever get it. That's faith. When you thank God after he's given it to you, that's gratitude. You need to do both. A lot of times we wait until after. Well, faith is thanking God before I ever receive it. And then faith is trusting if I don't get it. Even if I don't get it, I still trust him. So from these passages from Hebrews 11, Luke 8, Luke 7, we arrive at this simple yet workable, powerful definition of faith. It all kind of points that direction, even from the start. But say the word and let my servant be healed. Takeaway number two, faith is taking God at his word. That is faith. Now, here's what I want to say. If you're taking notes, I don't have time to dwell on it, but faith is not a feeling. Okay, faith, now, I'm not saying feelings aren't important. I'm not saying that feelings aren't valid. I'm not saying that we shouldn't care about our feelings. Keep it in the context of what I'm talking about biblically right now about our faith. Faith is not a feeling. See, the truth is we feel things deeply, man. We feel things deeply. Sometimes we're very sad. Sometimes we're very elated. Sometimes we're very hopeful. Sometimes we feel very hopeless. And we feel things very deeply. No question about that. But we have to remember that faith is not a feeling. Faith is taking God at his word. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So as strong and as changing as my feelings are, we must remember God's word is these four things, these four truths. As strong and changing as my feelings are, we must remember God's word is, number one, truer than anything I feel. God's word is truer than anything I feel. If I get to a place of depression and I feel like I am worthless, I have no hope, I am unloved, people are taking advantage of me, I can't get out of bed, all these things that are in my mind, right? I'm saying are true about myself. But then I go in my journey through it. I had to go, and I encourage you and others, I always do, to go back to what does God's word say about me? Because it's truer than anything I feel. Even though I may feel that way about myself, that's not the truth, right? And so that's where we get into problems is we start believing things that we feel about ourselves. We go back to our faith. And our faith is taking God at his word. What does God's word say to you? I say to somebody who I've sent across me in my office who is battling depression and doesn't want to live anymore. This is what the truth of God, this is what the truth. We don't base our faith on how I feel. That's not to say, oh, stop feeling that way. I'm not going to say that at all. But I want to bring in the truth, right, of what our faith is here, taking God at his word. So what to live by our faith and to depend on our faith means that I know that it's truer than anything I feel. So I bring in the truth of God's word about how I feel about myself. If I'm walking through depression or struggle or talking to someone who is, this is the truth. And then we believe the power. We believe that there's power in God's word, man, and the Holy Spirit to change hearts and to bring healing and to bring hope. Second, God's word is truer than anything I experience. Third, God's word is truer than any circumstance I will ever face. And finally, God's word is truer than anything in this world. So truer than anything I feel, truer than anything I experience, truer than any circumstance I will ever face, and truer than anything in this world. That means that no matter what I feel or experience, while valid, I must then choose to depend on what God says, because faith is taking God at His word. Takeaway number three, the last one, I don't have time to teach it, but develop the habit of taking God at His word. I think we have to develop that habit. Maybe it starts now, right? It is a challenging thing at times because our faith has become so overwhelming. But this is a step for us to understand what faith is. It's taking God at His word and what God says. So I give some scripture references, Psalm 119, 60, 2 Samuel 7, Revelation 25, all talk about the truth of God's word. And yes, I believe God's concerned about what we go through. I think He cares. But I think He's also very concerned about how we respond to what we go through. And I think one of the reasons He allows these trials and temptations, James chapter 1, and pressures in life to come is so we can respond by not trusting our feelings, but by ultimately by faith. What is faith? Taking God at His word. Now, some of you may say, you know what, man? I hear you, Pastor Dave, but I still struggle. And maybe this is your prayer today, and then I pray after this. In Mark chapter 9, there's a story of Jesus healing a boy with an unclean spirit. And the father comes to Jesus to ask Him for healing of his son. And He says in verse 22, I pick it up, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, this man says to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Now verse 24, maybe this is you. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe, God. I believe You. I've been there before. I believe You. I believe Your word. But I'm struggling on this one. Help me with my unbelief. I want to take You at Your word. I want to have faith. Help me with my unbelief. Let's pray together. Will you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your word, God. Thank You for the word that gives us hope, that truly, that it is through Your word that we are able to continue in the faith, that we are not continuing in the faith apart from You and apart from Your word. And so I pray today and in the days ahead, this week, that we're continuing in the faith by taking You at Your word. Though our feelings may tell us one thing, though the culture may tell us another, though the news media may say something else, we choose to take You, God, at Your word, to continue in our faith, to not shift away from the hope of the gospel, to be firm and steadfast. So I pray, God, that the teachings today will press into our hearts as we leave today and throughout this week, and that You would continue to teach us what it means to continue in the faith. Thank You, Lord, for Jesus. It's in His name we pray these things. Amen and amen. Before I let you go this morning, I want to just share two other announcements with you. First of all, as we try to continue pressing forward with ministry, sometimes it looks different, as I mentioned to you, with our fall harvest, but we also have the opportunity to do Operation Christmas Child this year with the shoeboxes. We've done that for a number of years, and it's something we can still do. So if you'd like to be a part of that, it's crazy to think, but we have to start now because we have to have things tied up by the middle of November. Out these doors to my right, there's a table with a lot of information out there, the shoeboxes and things you can pick up that give you more information about how it works if it's new to you. But also, there's this video that kind of brings it home to us too. So let's watch.
Jesus loves you, my friend. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. I received these gloves that I really love. It's my favorite color. Yes. And I received this awesome mask that I'm going to scare my little sister and brother in the night with. Yes. And this pants. And I'm going to use them in every book I have for school. And these awesome socks. And yeah, I just love it. Jesus loves me, yes! It's like, it brings this feeling to my heart that there's somebody out there that wants to share God's word, and even though we feel lost, that God is not there, that yes, God exists, and He hears our prayers. Thank you.
Yes, that's Christmas for a lot of people. That's Christmas for a lot of people. It kind of puts things in perspective, I think, for us too, doesn't it? If you want to be a part of that ministry, exit these doors to my right, and there's a table there with a lot of information. Our student ministry does a great job, Nathan and the leaders over there leading out that ministry every year. So we have that opportunity. Second thing I want to mention, then we'll pray together and are dismissed. At Grace Point Church, we are an elder-led church, and our elders serve for a three-year term, and this year there are two that are rotating off of the elder body. Kenny Williams, who served faithfully for 3 years, and Brian Stone has also served faithfully for 3 years. Those guys are amazing men that I love dearly, but they'll be rotating off the elder board, the elder body, in December. And so the way it works here at Grace Point is, as a church, you nominate two more men that you believe could fulfill the responsibilities have the qualifications of elders. And so our elder nominations are officially open. If you go to our website, we're doing it all online instead of out in the lobby with information. If you go to our website, gracepointdenton.com, in the upper right-hand corner, it says elder nominations. When you click on that, you have listed there a letter from me that talks about the structure of Grace Point in terms of how we're led as an elder body. It will also give you the qualifications, biblical qualifications of elders. Also listed there are the biblical responsibilities of elders. And then last will be an elder nomination form. And you can fill that out after you've kind of prayed through that, nominated two men from Grace Point. And then you can just submit that, and it comes to us in our office, and we keep it that confidentially until we have our elders meeting, and then we discuss those and pray over the next two that will come and join the elder board that you as a church have nominated, okay? So that's just kind of some business to take care of, but that's happening now through, I think I have the second week of November, I think, the date's on there when you go online, that you can submit those nominations, and then we'll follow up with you. It's a process. After that, we go through a vetting process, so it'll be January, February, before we come back to you with the two that'll be joining the current five or seven member elder body, in addition to that, with three staff members, myself, Jeff, Neil, and Guy Earl. Okay, so more information, but please follow through on that and be praying about who you want to nominate. Okay, let's stand together. Will you stand? Let me pray for you. Thank you so much for being here online. Worshipers, pray with us too, and then we'll be dismissed. And Father, thank you for these folks that are here today, for these people. I pray, God, that you will take your word that you are teaching us, and you will press it on our hearts, and you will draw us to you, that we may not just know about you, but we may come to know you even in greater ways as we live out our faith and as we continue in the faith. Father, thank you for our time, and bless these, God, as they go this week. Give them a good week. And I look forward to gathering again together next week to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Have a good week, Grace Point. We'll see you next Sunday morning.